You're listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum from humanmedia.org.
One of the most exciting things about fruits and vegetables is that they are the only food group that we recommend people eat more of in order to lose weight. And that's because they are bulky, they contain a lot of fiber and water, so they help to make people feel full with fewer calories. And it's also been shown in more studies that having a daily diet that has a lot of fruits and vegetables helps to reduce the amount of fat that's eaten and therefore the total amount of calories. What we find is that people who eat more fruits and vegetables also tend to be more physically active. It's hard to know which comes first. Are they more active because they eat better, or do they eat better because they're more active? But these two things go away, and together they help to control weight. The data also show that people who have lost weight do better in keeping the weight off if they have diets that have more fruits and vegetables in them, and of course if they maintain a higher level of physical activity. It's relatively easy, and I'm not saying that losing weight is easy, but the hard part is keeping the weight off over time, because it does involve a total change of lifestyle. And the changes of lifestyle are the way the food groups are on, the proportions of food groups and the serving sizes that are on a plate, as well as having a more active lifestyle and having less sedentary activities, that is, inactive pastimes and long days in front of the computer. So I think that the exciting part is that if we could shift the way that Americans chose to eat and the way that the food industry offered food and marketed food to the public to promote more fruits and vegetables, more whole grains, which also have more fiber and have a great deal of satiety value, and more low-fat and non-fat milk, which is protective and shows some benefit to keeping weight off, then we could turn this obesity epidemic around and reduce it, which would have tremendous benefits for a variety of chronic diseases. When they occur in life, how severe they are, it would help people who are fighting these chronic diseases or living with these chronic diseases to control them more easily and possibly even not have to take as much medication as they do, and in addition reduce the costs that are growing by so much in the American healthcare system. So there's a lot of opportunity that employers are beginning to see, as well as food manufacturers realizing that Americans are willing to buy healthy, good-tasting, fresh food if it's offered to them in as convenient a way and at a good price as the packaged foods that now have so many, you know, are high in calories and high in fat.
Do you have any suggestions or tips for people who wish to be informed consumers of fruits and vegetables? Are there more useful or effective choices that people could make at the supermarket?
Yes, I think the good tips for shopping at the supermarket are to go to the produce department first and check what fruits and vegetables are in season, what the sales are. You can always ask the produce clerks for a sample of a fruit or a vegetable that you want to make sure that the flavor is what your family likes. So start in the fruit and vegetable department, in the produce department, and then work around usually the perimeter of the store is where the fresh foods like the dairy products and the lean meats and fish would be found. And that's really the way to go in terms of shopping, and then complement that with the pasta, the whole grain breads, and so forth from the interior of the store.
So almost to follow the obvious logic, you come into a typical grocery store, the produce section is right there in front of you at the entrance. That's the first place to stop.
That's right. Or if you like shopping at farmers markets, that is that makes produce almost the only thing that you'll see, but that assures that you're going to buy enough for your family, and then again you can work around the what you've bought to complement it with other foods. Similarly, in many parts of the country, there's something called community supported agriculture, where you can contract with local farmers to receive a box of fruits, vegetables, and flowers that are in season, and that way you know that you're going to be getting enough fruits and vegetables. They'll be of very high quality, and they also support the local agricultural economy and keep farmers on the land. So those are other sort of shopping approaches that you can use to help you get really high quality fresh fruits and vegetables into your home.
And what about frozen versus fresh? Are there nutritional consequences to either choice?
We're great fans of frozen vegetables and fruits. They are convenient. They're economical. The harvesting is done so that they are picked and packaged right in the fields, often, or very close to the field. So they're very they're frozen to be very fresh, and so the nutrients are really protected. Those fragile nutrients, such as vitamin C or folic acid, that are important for heart disease and for just general good health, are retained in those fruits and vegetables.
So the fact that something is frozen does not diminish many of its nutritional benefits.
No, absolutely not. And the fact that it can be put in your freezer and used at a moment's notice, if it happens to be the end of the week and you've run out of your fresh fruits and vegetables, means that you're going to eat it and provide it to your family so that everyone will have the health benefits and not go without. So it absolutely is a key part of the grocery cart and a key part of your pantry that you should have at home.
And what are the healthiest ways to prepare some of these cancer-protective foods to maximize or not diminish those qualities of those foods?
Well, the preparation methods are the same that we recommend for good nutrition and for heart disease and so forth, and that is that they should be prepared with a minimal amount of processing. That means that they should be steamed, not boiled. They can be sautéed in with a small amount of a healthy fat like olive oil or canola. They can be braised, but basically you don't want to have them in a large amount of fluid that is then discarded.
You mean oils and shortening and so forth?
If you boil your vegetables, then the nutrients that are water soluble are likely to be poured down the drain when you drain the vegetables. So, for example, if you are boiling or steaming your vegetables, you want to do it with a minimum amount of water and for the least amount of time to just make them tender, not overcooked. And that, of course, increases their taste pleasure, which is a good thing for people to eat more of them.
And a good thing unto itself.
That's exactly right.
And what about to the extent that we do submerge vegetables in fluids? Does it make sense to retain those fluids as stock?
Surely. Any of the cooking water that is used for vegetables is healthy and could be used for soups or stews or other cooking purposes. The good news with the phytochemicals that we've been talking about before is that they are generally not soluble in water. They do stay in the vegetable or the fruit when it's prepared. So in the case of canned vegetables, for example, you know that whatever phytochemicals were in those canned vegetables or within the natural vegetable, the fresh vegetable, are likely to still be there in large part in the canned version.
essentially, you're saying however we can do it, regardless of whether it's frozen, canned, or fresh, a lot of the health-giving properties will remain in the vegetables, and the important thing is to just get them.
Yes, that's right. No matter how you do it, eating more fruits and vegetables, whether they're fresh, frozen, canned, or dried, is going to make an improvement in your family's health and your own health. And so it's really important to make half the plate, to be sure, be fruits or vegetables, to be sure that at every eating occasion you're including a fruit or a vegetable, and to try to eat more than you are right now.
But if we're talking 2 to 3 servings, in effect it could be even more than half the plate.
That's exactly right. It could be a larger amount than half, but for most Americans, half of the plate would be a great improvement. And that is what we need to be asking for when we're in restaurants, for example, substituting pasta with fruits and vegetables, or making sure that we have fruits and vegetables as side dishes, because in restaurants often, and particularly in fast food restaurants, you have to really be conscious to ask for the salad or to ask for a dish of fruit as a dessert, and to opt for a green vegetable rather than a fried potato of some kind. So particularly in restaurants, you have to be pretty conscious of what you're picking from the menu in order to make half of what you eat be a fruit or a vegetable.
You've been listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum. I'm David Freudberg. For more information and to learn about Walking Through the Storm, our radio documentary project for cancer survivors, please go to humanmedia.org. Thank you for listening.